I rushed through my meal just to go to Cosmic Donuts. I've never been to a Chipotle, Steve. I'm 70 years old. I've never been to Chipotle.
It's called Chipotle, Ira. Oh, it's that time again. Time for the Ira Kaufman podcast, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the water damage whisperer, Ira Kaufman, the king of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. Thanks for listening. It's all presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford dealerships, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Freedom summer is flowing right now at Bill Curry Ford. Attention F-150 owners, $10,000 up to $10,000 over Kelley Blue Book value for your trade. 0% APR financing, no payments for 90 days when you upgrade to a new F-150. Get to BillCurryFord.com to see all the details. And there are many other great summer offers. No payments all summer. The Joe Bucks Fan Ira Kaufman discount is in effect. You got to ask Sean Sullivan for that. He's the general manager of Bill Curry Ford, our iconic draft guru here at JoeBucksFan.com. He loves talking to Bucks fans, and he'll be happy to help you out. Bill Curry Ford, family owned. That makes a difference. Find that difference at BillCurryFord.com. Start shopping there today. Great day to buy a vehicle.
BillCurryFord.com.
And Florida's Elite Restoration. They are former insurance adjusters with decades of experience. They're ready to be on your side to handle every possible step of a restoration situation. Mold. They're licensed mold remediation specialists. Fire damage, flood damage, storm damage, water damage. If you have an issue,
Florida's Elite Restoration. Be there.
Call them immediately. That means 24/7. Schedule a free inspection. They'll come out with their top flight technology and their experienced team. They've got hundreds of 5-star Google reviews in their back pocket to let you know what great quality they are. Family owned business covering the entire Tampa Bay area and across the state to the east. Florida's Elite Restoration. Call them first before you call your insurance company, and they've got the Ira Kaufman discount as well. Mention you heard about them on JoeBucksFan.com or from Ira, and you will get $500 back if you sign up with them to do your restoration work after your free evaluation. So if you need them, you got $500 back. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Get them in your disaster plan. We'll talk more about Bill Curry Ford later. They present all of Ira's work at JoeBucksFan.com. And we got a fun podcast for you today. Only one this week, because we're coming back with three next week as training camp kicks off. We got our fingers crossed for something very special with our first podcast of next week. But buckle up, subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict. We appreciate all your support. It's me, it's Ira. Here we go. No Lee DeCamper. COVID has got him. Hopefully he'll be back strong for training camp, Ira, which kicks off on Wednesday. We basically made it. Wednesday, first practice, not open to the public. Media types only, so you can have your fist fight. I figure they do that just to get all the fist fights out of the way, and then they bring the public in.
And no pads that day. No pads.
No, no pads. And then they'll bring everybody in. The fans come in on Thursday, and then training camp is really off and running. So we just about made it. Still got some time off. You got anything crazy planned today after the show?
Well, last week we went to an Italian dinner. My wife likes Francese, you know, chicken Francese, veal Francese. It was really good. Palm Harbor, Portofino or something. Anyway, it was real good. We go out on Saturday night, Steve. We go out. You can't go out for two people without $120. It just can't be done, Steve, unless you're going to Chick-fil-A or Chipotle. I've never been to a Chipotle, Steve. I'm 70 years old. I've never been to Chipotle.
It's called Chipotle, Ira.
Oh, jeez. Well, that gives you an example
right
there.
But, hey, it's a beautiful thing. We'll get you there. It's very good.
And the biggest news, I'm sticking with my 11-6. I love 11 for the Bucks, and I'm sticking with it.
So 11 for the Bucks. So Tristan Wirfs has not rattled you.
No.
Not even shaved off a game.
I'm not sure he's going to miss four games. I'm not sure.
Nobody's sure. We're hoping next week on the Joe Bucks Fan Show to have a very special guest here. Excited about that, but we'll be able to confirm that on Monday. And we expect to have plenty of news about Chris Godwin, where he sits, as well as Tristan Wirfs.
If anybody's going to do all the rehab and more, it's guys like Godwin and Wirfs, Steve. Very dedicated players. They miss their teammates. They want to get back on that field as soon as possible. It wouldn't shock me if Wirfs is ready in week two. It wouldn't shock me.
I wouldn't shock me either. Wouldn't shock me if he's ready week one, honestly. like you said, these guys are incredibly dedicated. Whatever their window is for recovery, you have to assume that they're going to possibly even beat it. And I don't know where Tristan Wirfs' head is at and where the team, how firm they're going to be with him to hold him back, right? Because they're relying on him, to be honest. You know he doesn't want to miss a snap. You know he doesn't want to see Baker Mayfield get hurt. You know he feels very strongly about, hey, they made me the highest paid left tackle in the league.
I think they're going to be wary of so-called rushing a back, Steve. I think they're going to be very wary of that.
That's true, but it ultimately so much comes down to what he's telling them.
Yes.
Still that, even if it's 30% that or 45%.
But you got to listen to the trainers, Steve. You do.
You do, but you know how it is. You've covered the NFL since the 1970s.
Sometimes you get in trouble leaving it up to the player, Steve. Sometimes you get in
Sometimes
trouble.
Sometimes you do, but players lie. And pain tolerance is a wacky thing. I hope that Wirfs is honest, and I hope that Chris Godwin is honest, because the Bucs, that's the whole point. I think the point you're making is they're good enough to win without rushing these guys back. The challenge is making sure they don't rush themselves.
Steve, quick story. I was on Chris Mad Dog Russo this week. We were talking about the Rays stadium situation and Wirfs and a couple other things. And then, out of nowhere, Steve, and this is a sentiment that's around. Russo brings up Baker Mayfield, and he must have seen, you know, some website that had Mayfield listed as the number 10 quarterback. Russo, quote, "I don't see it, Ira. I just don't see it. I don't think he's there. I don't think he can win a big game for you in the clutch." It's still out there a little bit, Steve. He's not the only one that thinks that. And I tried to defend Mayfield. I said he's won over everybody you can win over. Buck Nation, all his teammates, all his coaches. And I said, Chris, the guy threw 41 touchdowns. That's a fact. 41, Steve. So Mayfield still has a little bit of ways to go to win everybody over. They're still skeptics.
It's out there to a degree. And you're talking, of course, about Chris Mad Dog Russo, SiriusXM Mad Dog Radio, his own channel, the famous guy.
Follows the NFL closely.
And, you know, he's the new old screamer on ESPN, First Take.
Yeah.
Who does he turn to? He turns to you when he needs expertise in Bay Area sports. But bottom line, Ira, what he was referring to is the Jeremy Fowler annual survey of NFL coaches, executives, and scouts. 70-plus are surveyed. Give me your top 10 quarterbacks, each position they go through, and throw me a comment if you want. So Mayfield came in number 10. Now, we broke that, if you will, before ESPN released it about 3 weeks, because I caught Fowler leaking it on a show, and we talked about it a little bit, but he ended up being number 10 overall from those votes. It's the first time he's showed up there. So he got number 10, and Fowler went out of his way to say, hey, this wasn't a big list. Usually, maybe a total of 20 guys get at least one vote. This was much tighter. Actually, 16 quarterbacks usually get a vote. This year, only 12 quarterbacks got a top 10 vote. So think about that.
So that's a big drop-off. It's a big drop-off.
Huge. So you've got 70 NFL people submit a list of their top 10, and there's only 12 names mentioned total.
Yeah.
So that's a strong consensus for Mayfield, and the numbers are real, but the skeptics are out there.
You think he played poorly in the Washington playoff game?
No, he's not why they lost the playoff game. Sure, whatever happened on that bad handoff happened. The Graham Barton screw-up, that's not on Mayfield. You can always nitpick, but he's not why they lost, and he's in his prime.
He didn't play poorly at Detroit the year before. He played well in that playoff game, after winning a playoff game. I don't see the skepticism around Mayfield at this point.
I think
he's proven himself.
I think he's completely a legitimate top 10 quarterback right now. Forget about all the past. This is about 2025. He's a top 10 guy. You can argue Goff. You can argue other guys. This survey, because of how tight it was, like, for example, inside linebackers, Lavonte David came in at number 7 on that list. And that was a tremendous showing for him. He was not even on the list last year, so in the top 10. So
when I thought he had a better year.
Correct.
Yeah.
So he made the top 10 at number 7, but there were something like 30 inside linebackers who got a vote. 12 quarterbacks. So, I mean, the quarterbacks are well-studied. The consensus is there. And for me, it's more validation that, okay, you're a top 10 quarterback. Hey, Bucks, you've got a top 10 quarterback. Everybody knows it. You better finish damn strong and win a playoff game, because you can't squander great quarterback play in the NFL. You just can't.
Steve, do you think this NFL top 100 and voting by his peers, you think Mayfield will make it?
I don't know.
I don't know.
It's a really, really good question.
I don't know if he's going to make it.
You know, they're up to, I think, 74.
Didn't Wirfs just get mentioned?
No, Wirfs will be higher for sure. Vita Vea got number...
Vita Vea.
He got number 76. It was his first time showing up. Levante David was in the low 90s.
In the 90s, yeah.
High 90s.
And you know Evans is going to make it, yeah.
Evans will be there. I'm very curious, just my own curiosity, is Bucky Irving going to show up? Do the players see him as a top 10 back?
Maybe he's got to do it again.
Probably.
I don't know if Mayfield's going to make it, Steve.
I don't know if he will either. But you know what? Josh Freeman made it at like 90.
After 2010.
In 2010. Now Freeman won 10 games. Big time talent.
And he didn't throw 41 touchdowns.
He didn't throw anywhere near that. But he threw 25, six picks. And as I've said times here before, he was the number two rushing quarterback in the league that
pulled a lot of games out of his ass at the end.
And impressed a lot of people. So, but I think there's a chance. We'll see. It'll be pretty impressive if Mayfield is higher than we all think, at like 58 or something like that.
It's still a remarkable comeback story for Mayfield, Steve, any way you slice it.
Yeah,
from where he was.
And it's not even close to over. That's the beautiful thing. Now, Levante David, Ira, I fished this out. I was waiting to share it, and I finally did. You know, when he sat down with John Gruden for that Barstool interview, 45, 50 minutes, the two of them together, finally, and talking ball. David was asked by Gruden, which I thought was very interesting for the Todd Bowles haters out there. Gruden went out of his way to say, look, this Bowles defense, it's diverse, it works, and there's a lot to worry about with it. He's basically saying this is a modern defense that causes trouble for current offenses. It's not outdated. He asked David, do you think you guys have the depth on that defense that you need to get back to a Super Bowl and actually win it? And David, first he said, I believe so. Then he paused and he said, I think so. And then he said, no, not I believe so. I know so. The motivation is there and the hunger is there. And he thinks the talent is there. So, there's such high expectations. I think we got to keep them sky high.
I was thinking about the Buck defense, Steve. This is a guy who I think is critical. And I'm not sure he's a guy that I want to be critical. And you'll understand what I mean. It's your man, Reddick. Now, Steve, you love to be contrarian and say, I take exception to this sage. But I don't think you could argue that he's a key figure going into 2025. Hassan Reddick, he's a key figure. They didn't draft an edge rusher in the first three rounds. They didn't. And I think that's a reflection of their faith in Reddick getting the job done. Steve, what if Reddick doesn't get the job done? I don't think it's a guarantee that he's going to fully bounce back. And I'm not talking about an injury. And Steve, if he doesn't have a big season, I don't know. I'm a little worried about the pass rush again.
Well, of course. But it's a great question, Ira, because if Reddick isn't the guy that the Bucs hope he is, which they're, like most fans, are pretending last year didn't exist, they want the Reddick from 2020 to 2023, who was consistent and great every single year. But if they don't get that guy, it's a big decision for the Bucs to whether they're going to bench him. Because look at last year, Joe Tryon Shayinka, two sacks. They run him out there over and over and over again, and he can't rush the passer.
Plays a lot of snaps.
Plays a ton. They never just said enough already. They just kept running him out there. And Todd Bowles would probably sit here and say, well, we thought he was the best we got. But if Reddick isn't producing, they've got to be able to man up and say, we're going to let some of these hungry young guys out there and see what happens. Reddick's not really known for being great against the run. I hope that they have the stones to do something like that, or, you know, even honestly make a trade. If he doesn't look sharp and you think you still got a shot to win this thing, go trade for a pass rusher, make a big move before the trade deadline.
Go play on a bad team and take a pass rusher off him and give him a second round pick. Of course, they're talking up David Walker.
And that's the thing. You could talk the guy up all day long, but you don't know until you throw him out there.
They talked up Shoyinka.
Todd Bowles, I remember sitting at the owners' meetings two years ago. He's telling me about what a chess piece this guy
is. He's getting better. Yeah.
And Jason Light, 2 years ago, it's 2003, talking about expected big things, but they kept throwing him out there. Now, there was analysis on full defensive line analysis, as they do on NFL radio. A little bit interesting when they got to the Bucs is they didn't kill the edge rushers like a lot of fans do, because Pat Kerwin, the former scout and coach, was breaking down, hey, Anthony Nelson, he's everything you want in a number three edge rusher.
That's fair.
I don't know if he's everything, but
you like him.
I do like him. Number four edge rusher for the Bucks. Don't laugh. Chris Braswell.
I knew that was coming.
Okay, second year man, 350 snaps or so last year. Kerwin noted, hey, you look at the Saints, you look at the Falcons, they have rookies in those number four edge rusher spots right now. Rookies. And the Saints have a guy who's played about 80 snaps. And you look around the league, your number four guy, you don't have special number four edge rushers unless you're maybe the Eagles of years past. So maybe it's fair to say that, hey, Braswell is good depth if he's there. And just David Walker, a lot of people think he's going to be an impact player from inside the Bucks to, I was even listening to Jay Gruden talking about it. Apparently he was real dialed into the Senior Bowl on his podcast that he has.
The problem is we have questions about Reddick. That's the problem.
We got questions about Reddick. Diaby, if he can get back to where he was as a rookie, he's the good number two, which brings us all the way back to Mr. Reddick again. Did they hit the home run that they think they did?
We don't know, Steve.
We don't know.
We don't know.
How long do you think they let it play out if he's not?
Well, if they're 4-2 after 6 weeks, they keep going with him. If they're 3-4 after 7 weeks, Bowles is asking questions of light. Hey, we need help here. That's the way it is.
How all in do you think they are on this season? And I say that from the money standpoint because they still have salary cap room. They still have guys they want to sign, as in Luke Getteke, contract year, all the names we've been through, Zion McCollum. You look at what Sauce Gardner got. You look at the cornerbacks' contracts. You look at what Carlton Davis basically has a chance to make $20 million this year with an $18 million base. If McCollum plays pretty well, that's a massive contract if they keep him. There's, of course, Rashad White, Kate Otten, Mike Evans, Levante David.
Now, David may not come back.
Of course. You know. But, you know, Reddick, is he a guy that they even are looking at on the ledger?
I think he's a one-year rental. Steve.
I think so, too. So if he's a one-year rental, that's the kind of guy that you don't have to commit to if he's not getting it done. You know, maybe you trade him for another struggling edge rusher.
But it also means a year from now, we got the same old issues.
Unless Walker comes through and Diaby progresses, but...
The answer is to draft and develop your own edge rusher. That's the answer. And get him cheap for the first 3 or 4 years. That's the answer.
So if my point is, if Reddick's an all-in move, are they really in an all-in mindset?
They're in an all-in mindset. So because the people who write the checks are in an all-in mindset. They got a taste of 10 wins last year. They're looking for improvement. Bowles has a streak going of 2 years in a row, adding to the victory total. That doesn't sound like much of an accomplishment, but it is. It is in this league. To go 2 straight years and improving your win total, there's not a lot of teams that have done that, not currently. If he does it again, that would be a 3-year streak. That's pretty rare. If he does it, that would have to be 11 minimum. They're all in, Steve. They're all in. They think this team is right there. And I'm not sure they're wrong. I know the fans are all in. Steve, you know that.
The fans are all in. So the folks riding around the Howard Franklin all over town, you're saying if the Bucks are close or we're getting to the trade deadline or whatever it is, they're doing well, they needed a piece here, or Reddick's floundering and they're hanging in there and they want better, or Wirfs has a complication and they want to go get the Glazers say, hey, go get a starting left.
The pressure
tackle
will come from the top down. And if the guy's 33 years old, so be it. In the old days, we're not interested in you. You're 33. That's not the case
now. So you're saying Jason Light would be told.
I don't think Light would have to be told. I don't think he'd have to be told. He's no dummy.
Light might be, look, this isn't our year. We got to hold back money to sign McCollum, Getteke.
This isn't our year. How many more years do you think Mike Evans and Levante David are going to play?
I don't know, Ira.
It's got to be an all-in year. Well, they're not coming from 5-12 here.
If it's got to be an all-in year, why did we get Reddick and not maybe somebody better?
They thought Reddick was a value acquisition. And at this moment, we don't know that he's not.
No, I hope that he is. It would be something special. And frankly, if he is, go the other way. If he is looking like, you know, he's going to post 12 and a half sacks and he's motivated.
You might have to open up the wallet for him.
Maybe that pushes them to go even more all in and go get a guy to further bolster for the playoffs or get, you know, who knows what. I hope they're willing to make those moves and really be all
in. You prey on the bad teams, Steve. You prey on the teams that are, you know, 4-6 and that are looking to shed payroll. And you dangle a third-round pick. And, Steve, how many times You and I say after a transaction, that's all they could get for that guy? I mean, a really good player.
It happens all the time.
It's like, let's get rid of the salary and get what we can. If it's a third-round pick, we're going to take it. All the time we say, they couldn't get better than a third-round pick for that guy?
You know, and a lot of fans look at the Jalen Ramsey deal and wonder about that. But you know what? That was very much about Pittsburgh saying, okay, look, you're going to take Minkah Fitzpatrick's salary. The compensation is good for both sides here, but it's very much about moving salary.
Yes.
We believe our guy's cooked and, you know, you believe your guy doesn't want to play there. So it was a perfect fit. But usually the deals are like you say, wow, this guy only required a fourth round pick. The same year JPP was had for a third rounder. Robert Quinn was the other big edge rusher name. He was had for a third rounder that same year. So,
Steve, you got to be aware, and Light's good at it, of the arc of your team. And, of course, you get the messages from the guys that write the checks. So you know how they feel, because Light talks to them all the time.
Sure.
And I think Bowles talks to them quite a bit. I do. And from my standpoint, maybe you disagree, I think the Glazers are all in on this year. 50th year of the franchise, that ups the ante a little bit. They're making a big deal about it. So what I'm saying is, in terms of the arc, Steve, this is not, you know, 2017 where you're trying to hoard draft picks because you're trying to build a roster. I want 3 third-round picks because I'm confident that all 3 guys will be starters for the Bucks, and we're looking for starters. Steve, it's not like that anymore. This is a 10-7 team that almost won and beat a good Washington team in the playoffs, and this roster, it's pretty stacked, Steve. There's some weak spots, but there's a lot of strong spots, starting with the offensive line. To me, strength of the team, the offense strength of the team. They're not hoarding draft picks, Steve. If they got to give up a 3, they'll do it.
I don't know.
And in past years, I think Light would have been reluctant to do it.
Well, it'll be interesting to see, Ira. Hopefully, they have reason to make these types of all-in moves.
You don't want to be 1-3 after the first freaking month, Steve.
No, and that changes all the perspective. You don't want that to happen. I don't know, as well as the draft picks have produced, it makes Light cling to them that much more. That's just how it is. You're quick to ditch a draft pick when, as a fourth rounder, no big deal, but the Bucks are running around draft night saying David Walker is a Super Bowl piece. That's the audio from the draft room. And that wasn't just...
Would you be demoralized if they're 2-2 after the first month?
No, of course not. 2-2, no.
Would you be demoralized?
I wouldn't, because I think I would have picked that before Wirfs got hurt.
Okay.
I think I would have gone with 2-2.
You see the Houston game as a problem?
Yeah, I think Houston's a problem.
Because you remember Pat Kerwin told me on Moving the Chains, he was looking at week 2. He goes, the Texans have they got a damn good pass rush, which they do. They got some good players up front.
Yeah, on both sides.
That's going to be a test if Wirfs is in the lineup.
Well, it's a test otherwise. I mean, look, I think C.J. Stroud just had an
off
year.
Joe Mixon, though, Steve, he's okay. He's okay, Mixon. You know, he ain't Bucky Irvin, in my mind.
No, but they have a balanced offense. They fortified their offensive line,
which has been a weak spot.
And I think there's no reason to think that Stroud is not going to bounce back a little bit with more help around him, especially earlier in the year. So
there's still the class of that division.
It's a bad division, right?
Yeah.
The Bucks take a ton of heat, but the AFC South is no good.
Tennessee, I think, might be the most anonymous team in football, Steve, right now.
Sure.
Boy, they are anonymous.
Yeah, the Colts, Daniel Jones helped their anonymity a little bit, but they do have Jonathan Taylor.
I'm glad you mentioned the Colts, because to me, they're the epitome of a mediocre team, the Colts. I think they're spinning their wheels. They don't go 4-13. They win their 7 or 8 games. They got some good players like Jonathan Taylor, Quentin Nelson, you know, some good players. But they got to get their quarterback situation straightened.
Well, I mean, it's been such a mess for a long time. What, Phillip Rivers to Matt Ryan to the bouncing around to Gardner Minshew
and now
and
Richardson.
And now they're bringing in Daniel Jones, who you know that they expect to start there.
Yeah.
And of course, now they have the unfortunate ownership situation, the shakeup there, you know, with Jim Irsay passing away. But yeah, that's a bad division too. But you can't call me a hater for saying I think the back to back road game and the Bucks going to Houston, I'm picking an L, I'm picking that. And the Eagles at home, I think that's going to be maybe a little too much for the Bucks, but they have their number.
What would piss me off is losing game 1 in Atlanta. That would bother me.
That's a must-win game. You guys keep making fun of me about calling that a must-win game. That sets the tone.
Even for you, that might be a little bit of a stretch.
It sets the tone for so much. You got to beat Atlanta. Hard to believe summer's almost over. That's what it feels like from a football perspective, of course. Real summer will march on for a while. And summer continues also at our friends at Bill Curry Ford, their Freedom Summer Sales event. Freedom from payments, freedom from interest. 0%, zero down, zero payments for 90 days, complimentary maintenance. Check out all the opportunities at BillCurryFord.com. Curry is the family name, third generation family dealership, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. You can ask GM Sean Sullivan for the Joe Bucks fan discount, which applies to anything. Used vehicles, their tremendous selection with transparent pricing. BillCurryFord.com. Don't worry, drive Curry. And looking for a special guest next week, Ira. I don't want to jinx it, but it's a big name.
I'm glad you're listening today because we're getting you ready for training camp. It's right around the corner.
Wednesday. I can't believe it. And I realize training camp gets softer every year. It really does. Bruce Arians used to call it Camp Cupcake. Those quotes are out there, and it gets a little bit softer every year.
Of course, Arians is old school, Steve. Old school.
But he was also pretty modern, too, for sure. Sort of a little bit ahead of his time on some of the sports science stuff. And
how do you think a guy like Don Shula would handle today's training camp regulations and restrictions? He'd be going crazy.
Well, it's a good question, but I think a lot of the coaches, look, the great coaches were always guys who knew how to adapt and knew how to respond to their players. Younger fans don't even realize that there were six preseason games.
That's right.
Six.
And a lot more injuries in August.
Absolutely. And guys came in out of shape. They were not training year-round to the same degree. Whereas now, you know, you have 89 out of 90 guys coming in great shape. Back then you had a third. But look, a lot of fans in Tampa here went to University of Tampa, not in ancient times, 25 years ago, and they would watch the Bucks training camp there. I was out there a handful of times, multiple sessions. It was great. And there was hitting, and it was great. It was electrifying.
Even when the Bucks went to the Wild World of Sports in Orlando?
Disney, sure.
Yeah, Disney. And I think that happened the first year that Gruden came to town, 2002. It might have ended Gruden's last year, 2008. I'm not sure they
That's
went
correct.
Back.
That's correct, yeah.
Oh, okay. So it covered
year.
The Gruden years.
Yep.
And that was a lot of fun. I didn't like being there 6 days a week, you know, away from home, and Sam's growing up, and I'm missing it, missing the soccer games or whatever. But, you know, you show up 8 o'clock in the morning, and you're sitting in the baseball stadium press box. That's the press box. Then you go down to the field, and there was a lot more hitting back then from what I can remember, Steve. And Gruden ran a tough camp, no question about it.
So it is a little soft, and they've changed the rules, and there's not a lot of time in pads. And when they go in pads, they're not going live. I don't remember the Bucks going live once last year with full tackling to the ground. I went to the Jacksonville joint practices last year, and there was at least a little more juice to those.
And you're going to Pittsburgh.
And the Steelers practice hard, and it's good when the Bucks can.
And they're also doing it with Tennessee, right, Steve?
Tennessee and Tampa.
Tennessee and
the
Tampa.
The joint practice, which is actually one of the dates open to the general public. You can still buy your ticket for $10.75 and feed Team
Don't
Glazer.
Tell me you've been checking ticket sales, Stevie.
Well, they're not sold out yet because they're one of the very few teams that are actually charging for camp. Maybe fans want to wait till the last minute. I don't know. But
well, you made a great point. You know, you're coming with your wife and you got three kids. That's $50 before you buy your first concession.
Well, I mean, it's $35 basically. You know, not $50, but it's an expense for sure. It's not free. It's a big difference between $35 and no bucks.
I thought it was $10 a person.
Yeah, you said your wife and a kid. That's
three kids. I said.
Oh, three kids.
I said
your wife
and three kids.
Okay, all right, there you go.
That's a half a sawbuck over there, Steve.
But you know what? They're coming in. There'll be a lot of energy. A lot of rookies. I love the competition in this year's camp. I think the cornerbacks competition is so underrated.
The whole secondary.
And, you know, obviously what Tyke Smith does at safety, if he looks like he can adapt well, that's a big deal.
And can Parrish steal that nickel jump? Big deal.
He'll have every chance, but the competition there has a chance to change the whole defense. Because they gifted pretty much everything last year. Jamel Dean, Zion McCollum, it's your job. Tyke Smith, you're the new nickel. Jordan Whitehead, oh, you're coming back. Welcome back. You're the starting safety from coming from your time with the Jets. Winfield, of course, obviously, but
Will Bowles be reticent to give Morrison his share of the snaps, or will he defer to McCollum and Dean? Or would he like to see Morrison realistically compete for a starting job?
I'm assuming that he wants everybody.
He's a second-round pick, Steve.
That he wants everybody to compete. I know our buddy Lee, if he were here, he'd be saying, look, a rookie starting, you don't have to do that. You know, that's a difficult road.
Didn't Bowles start Tyke Smith last year? He sure did.
He did. But if the guy's better, they have enough juice to cover for a rookie who's going to make a few mistakes. And get him to the point where, you know, he's played 12 games. He's not a rookie anymore. I just hope that it's a real open, honest competition. And like we talked about in the last segment, that that extends to evaluating Reddick as he goes and everybody, and not gifting guys snaps, which was going on last year.
Do you have any deep concerns about Winfield other than him staying healthy? Do you have any concerns that Winfield won't be able to recapture his form as a game changer? Did last year sour you at all?
Sour me? Look, it took the air out of the balloon out of a lot of fans who thought, hey, Winfield was the team's MVP in 2023.
We got Ed Reed over here, you know.
Team MVP, playing like a potential Hall of Famer. Remember, he was an All-Pro that year, but didn't make the Pro Bowl, which was the classic slap the Bucks fans in the face. I don't know if he can come back the same way, Ira, but it's unrealistic. It's like you used to say about Devin White when he had that incredible 2020.
The 9.5 sacks.
The 9.5 sacks. You just said, hey, it's not fair to ever think that guy can do it again. I think Winfield's probably
I feel the same way.
But I do think he may not play as well as 2023, but I certainly think he can be a 4 or 5 interception guy, which we've never seen from him.
I think Bowles is counting on Winfield big time. You know, he's the leader back there. I mean, McCollum's not the leader. Dean's not the leader. Tyke Smith's not the leader. Parrish is a rookie. Winfield's the leader. And Bowles is a former NFL safety. So, you know, he's got special affection for Winfield when he's playing well. And he loves the guy for a reason. I've said it before, Steve. I think Winfield arguably made the biggest play of the 2020 championship run, forcing that fumble on Jared Cook. I'm not sure the Bucs win that game. Yeah, in New Orleans. So he's done stuff besides a great 2023. He gets very involved. Last year, I got to give him the benefit of the doubt, Steve. I don't think he was ever really healthy. I got to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Probably not. He turns 27, and we're Bucks fans. We're with the people.
He's making
out there
a ton of money, Steve.
We're just going to assume that he was never healthy.
Big
and that's
contract,
it.
Steve. Big.
Massive contract. I think he's got a lot of pride. He's got his head on straight. He was groomed for this. Son of a great NFL player. Turns 27 in August. It's all right there for him to bounce back in an incredible way. And frankly, if he's close to that 2023 guy and the Bucks get a little better on the edge rush and, you know, the rookies add some juice and we don't have a crater next to Levante David, it should be a top 15 defense.
And by
least.
The way, Steve, I was watching, they replayed the Washington playoff game again the other day.
You love going back.
And I watched
you,
it.
You love, you're obsessed
and,
with that game.
And you know who just looks like a player, Steve? He just looks like a freaking player. Yeah. Kalijah Kansi. I mean, getting off the ball,
shedding that first
blocker, almost bringing down Daniels on that critical play. I mean, I'm not going to fault. You know, Daniels is a fantastic athlete. I'm surprised he even got his hand on the freaking towel. He almost made the play of the game, Steve, because if you hold him to a field goal, who knows what the hell is going to happen. And they can't kick it on the final play of the game, Steve. So Mayfield gets the ball back. That game could go into overtime. Kansi's a playmaker, Steve. I'm high on him. I don't care what some of these other evaluators say. I think he's going to be a really good player.
Me too. He's fantastic, but we've seen this before in past years to a degree. You look at Kansi, he missed the first 5 games of the season and came back healthy. When you miss the first 5 games and legitimately come back healthy, you got a lot fresher legs in January than everybody else that's grinded out more games. And
I think he's going to be a better Buck than Gerald McCoy.
He's got to get through a season. He's got to get through a season. I don't know. I don't want to go that far yet.
He's got a funny build to him. He's got a funny build. You know, he's not imposing. He ain't Vita Vea.
No.
And he's not Ndamukong Suh.
Hey, he's like 285, Ira.
Boy, he can shed a block, Steve. He's you know what I'm going to look at for him? Tackles for loss. I think that was his forte in college, and I think that's going to be his forte in the pros.
He's been strong in the pros with it. He gets to the quarterback. He looks like a first-round talent.
Yeah.
And that's really what you want out of your first-round players.
And Bay is a perfect guy to compliment him.
Can they develop him? How much more can they develop him? That's going to be huge. And, you know, Vita Vea, NFL.com released a stat buried in a story on Vita Vea. Now, they've got access to all that next-gen data, right, with the tracking mechanisms in player
speed
uniforms.
And this and that.
In the balls, the satellite technology, they've got the access. Well, you know, Vita Vea was named, as we said, number 76 in the league in the player
vote. That's a good number.
Top 100, yeah. first time for Vea. He should be feel great about that, especially for a defensive tackle. You know, those surveys are all skewed toward the skill position players. And so Vea gets ranked number 76, and NFL.com sort of did a little look at each player, and they shared, Ira, that, think about this, the Buccaneers, when another team runs inside with Vea on the field, they average 3.7 yards a carry. When they run inside, when Vea was off the field, 4.7 yards
big
a
difference.
Carry.
Big, significant.
That's tremendous. Tremendous difference. And so the more he's supposed to be coming in great shape like he did last year, the more he can stay on the field with Kancey.
Are you still questioning his relative lack of snaps? You used to make a big deal about that.
Well, it's been 7 years already. I got to let it go. But he could play more. His peers play more. But you could argue he doesn't have any peers because there aren't many 6'5", 360-pound guys running around.
But you also used to say at some critical times in some critical games, he wasn't on the field.
And I'm going to hope that some of that was Casey Rogers, the defensive line coach, who we like a lot. But now he's gone, and those guys are responsible for the rotations. Four more days, Bucs fans, and practice begins. Players report in 3 days. Training camp kicks off in 4. It's been a great summer, Ira, for us on the website, so we thank everybody.
And we've kept it going for the last 5 or 6 weeks, Steve. We've kept it going while everybody's scattered. We don't scatter.
No, been busy. It's been great. Tristan Wirfs helped out with some news and some juice, and everybody's always, fans are always fired up about Todd Bowles. Everybody has an opinion about Todd Bowles.
You know one thing about training camp that I can't believe I'm saying this, Steve, and you can't believe it either. You know what I'm looking at, among other things? Among the Hassan Reddicks of the world, can you give me a kick returner? I'm dwelling on this, Steve. I'm obsessed with it because I think it might be a big factor this year till they straighten out the kickoff rules. I can see a lot more kickoffs being returned. Those are opportunities, Steve. Opportunities for a 45-yard return. Once in a while, a 60-yard return. Imagine giving Mayfield that kind of field position. That's where the seventh-round pick's got. He's got the world right in front of him,
Steve.
Yeah,
Tez Johnson. So I'm glad you brought that up, Eric, because I realized that aside from talking a little bit about Baker Mayfield, we've been just dialed in on the defense for this whole show, which is fine. That's where the question marks lie, and that's where the Bucs.
Those are the battles.
Desperately need to improve, and the position battles and that are really meaningful and legitimate anyway. I don't really think there are any on offense. But the kick returner thing is interesting. Last year, so they moved the touchback up to the 30-yard line in hopes of stimulating kickoff returns to get that excitement back in the game, and it fell flat.
Flat.
There were more returns, but the NFL, has celebrated that, but it wasn't anything significant that a fan would realize.
I don't remember too many dynamic kick returns last year.
No, and it's a different play. And so, of course, teams, it's more of a running play now with the way it's set up. And teams had to figure that out. So, it wasn't as special as they hoped it would be, which is why they moved it. Now the touchback goes out to the 35. And the question remains, what will coaches do? And the analytics are completely unclear because they don't exist yet. Now, of course, the analytic guys will come up with all kinds of numbers.
The 35 is a good chunk of yards, Steve. It's a good
chunk. It's a good chunk of yards, but it didn't matter at 30. And it used to be 20, and now they still don't care. So,
and now the kickers are better too, Steve. So that's a factor. So why give up almost an automatic field goal?
Are we going to see, because coaches are obsessed? What are they obsessed with? Big plays and turnovers. And the more you return the ball, the more chance you have of a big play. The defensive coaches don't like that, and the offensive coaches don't want to risk a fumble from the standpoint of the return.
So if this rookie shows that he's a dynamic, all of a sudden they won't give him chances to return, and the Bucs will get the ball at the 35-yard line. I think that'll set the Bucs up for very nicely for this fall.
Well, it's a question of how many points difference that makes, but I don't think Tez Johnson is going to be returning those balls because it's really, Bowles has even said it, it's more designed for the Sean Tucker, who's more of
a
running back. You know, Johnson is more of a punt returner.
Well, he better be the punt returner if he makes the team.
But do you really think that the NFL teams are going to respond to the 35, that's going to change a lot?
I think it could, Steve. I do think it could. Two first downs, you're in field goal range with these kickers like McLaughlin. The Bucs have one of them. He has few peers in terms of a long-range kicker. The guy doesn't miss from the 50s. I think it could have a major effect on whether you're going to kick it into the end zone or you're going to give him a chance to bring it out. And you're right, Sean Tucker, he did a pretty nice job. So I want Johnson to take Palmer's punt return job. That's what I want to see.
It's his to lose. He's better, quicker.
I didn't think Palmer showed a lot of great judgment.
No, and just from watching in OTAs and minicamp, you could see the shiftiness, the elusiveness. He's hard to tackle. And as a 155-pound guy, he wouldn't have survived college football if he was easy to tackle.
Imagine breaking off a couple of 35-yard punt returns. Could be huge.
Oh, absolutely. Look, if you get one of those every four games, it can be a game changer. You know, the stats are there for the Bucs with the close games.
Doesn't mean
a lot to me, but it does mean a lot to other people because in my mind, every game is close. But those are the little things that matter. But the Bucs have not, you know it, Ira, they haven't emphasized special teams here to the degree other teams do, or they're just not as good at it.
You know, Steve, talking about the Buck offense for a second, you know what they've improved on markedly? I mean markedly. And I used to complain that they kick too many field goals. They kick too many field goals. Maybe this goes back to before Brady came to town. And I think since Brady's been here and Mayfield has successfully carried it through, they don't settle for three that often. They score touchdowns. This team scores touchdowns, maybe not so much during the Canales year or the last Brady year, but for kind of four out of the last 5 or 6 years, this team scores touchdowns. So that used to be a big complaint of mine. They're settling for too many field goals. You know, they're trying 45 field goal attempts, and now it's much more reasonable. You got to score seven in this game.
It appears that Todd Bowles has been more aggressive last year. Not enough.
That helps.
For most fans, not enough. But you know what? A lot of fans assume that, wow, now he's got a clock management guru. He's going to be even more aggressive because the guy's going to tell him, hey, the numbers say this, Todd, et cetera, et cetera. But couldn't it absolutely go the other direction? And that's what you never hear a fan say that. But couldn't it go the other direction where the clock management guy says, Todd, our defense is better? Now, of course, he's not doing this in real time, but when they talk during the week.
And the metrics say this.
Metrics say our defense is this much better, and we're doing this. So you know what? We don't have to go here. It's not the smart play.
Interesting. That could happen. The biggest point of all, Steve, even with this new guy, Bowles has final call. Bowles has final call. He's not giving it up, nor should he give it up.
Of course he has final call.
Final call.
I mean, the Glazers just gave him untold millions through 2028. I would think they give him
now,
a call.
Now, maybe he'll get better advice. Maybe he'll get better advice.
Going to Bowles' contract, Ira, do you think, and this is a truth.
Are you still bewildered by the timing, Stevie?
Well, look, fans are still talking about the extension, but let's just talk about the money. Coaches' salaries are sometimes revealed, but I'd say half the time they're not. We heard about John Gruden's $10 million a year. Todd Bowles was not making an extraordinary amount of money when they handed him the job at the last minute. In late March of 2022, he was not making some special money. They basically said, you want the job, Todd, or not?
And he didn't command a big salary at that time.
No, and he had no leverage. So I'm sure he got a raise, but I'm sure that there's something there that they gave him this extension because they had an opportunity to say, Todd, we want to extend you. We don't have to, but we'd like to give you this. You want to take the guaranteed money now? Because he's going to be 62, so they extend him out 3 more years, 65.
That'll probably be it.
I would think hopefully it's not. Hopefully he's winning Super Bowls and going until he's 70, but I think maybe part of this extension is money because it's still a business. We look at a team charging for training camp so they can pull in an extra $90,000 from the average Joes.
So you figure he's making an average NFL head coaching salary?
Maybe even a little less than average. I don't know if Bowles is a hardliner with his contract. What we're not going to know, because the Glazers don't release this, maybe money had a little bit to do. Maybe they sort of hedged their bets a little bit. And it's a lot of fans think the extension means the team is committed to him. They love him. It could have also been business. No one's saying that.
It could be, Steve, but my sense is I think ownership sold on Todd Bowles. And I know that's not going to go over that well with part of Buck Nation. I understand it. I understand the skeptics, the questions about him in a big game. He's won one playoff game, right, Steve, as a Buck coach?
1-3, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, 1-4 is not going to go over very well with Buck fans, if that's the case. If they even make the playoffs, which I think they will. I think they're going to win this division again. I think they're sold on him. And, Steve, I think this culture thing is important to ownership.
It is.
I think it's important.
But isn't that all fragile, right? I mean, owners love a guy in March, and then all of a sudden they're sick of him
sure.
in October. That happens all the time around the league. It's not a Glazer thing. But, I just don't think anything is that secure because of the nature of where the team is. Like, you're all the things we've talked about of why they should be an 11.
There's a real sense of urgency, yeah, Steve. There is.
And all in is all in.
All in is all in.
It's an exciting year. I know you're excited, Ira. And
maybe it gives Bowles a boost of confidence, too, Steve, going forward.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of win-win to it. I wish the Glazers were transparent with all this stuff, but they're not.
It all starts with this upcoming week, Steve. Players reporting and the media reporting.
All your buddies.
Get that water out there. Get that water out there at One Buck Place. I like to stay hydrated, Steve.
You think they're going to feed us on opening day, Ira?
I suppose I show up with like a Bob Dylan hat or something. Shades. Yeah, I'm famous for the white towel across my, used to do that. Willie Lanier, the Bucks linebacker, used to have something across his neck. I show up and I got my little musician's hat on. You know what? I don't care what people say. I don't care if Vita Vea makes fun of me. I'm wearing it.
I always thought you were auditioning for Waterboy 5 with the towel.
Maybe Happy Gilmore.
Anybody you'd really want to see out there, Ira, as far as who you're going to have your eye on the first few days of training camp? Because we're here.
I think I'm going to look at Winfield. How's he moving? Is he fully recovered? Because if he is, I think that could be a big key. And I want to look at Parrish. I want to see if he's got the instincts to play a very tough position that Rondé Barber defined for 15 years as a Buck before he moved to safety. You know, that nickel guy, I know Tyke Smith wants to be on the field 100% of the time, and that's why he might want to move to safety. But, Steve, that nickel guy, that guy's on the field 75 or 80% of the time and plays a critical role and has to be versatile. That's what was so great about Barber. He could do it all.
My eyes are going to Emeka Egbuka, Ira. We don't believe that Chris Godwin's going to be on the field next week. Hopefully we're wrong.
Everything you've seen of Egbuka is very positive.
But I think he may be better than Godwin this season, and I want to see what he looks like. He looked so good in the underwear football sessions, and if he can look like first-round receivers are supposed to look, it could change everything with this offense and really make it go to the extreme. It's just that simple.
You're going to look at Heck? You're gonna give Heck a look?
I'm going to give Heck a look. I sincerely hope that Hassan Reddick is dominating Heck. I'd rather see Heck look like crap.
Well, Reddick could be going up against the right tackle.
Yeah, they'll move around and they'll do their thing, but I really hope I hope Heck looks bad. I got to be honest, because I'd rather see the edge rush come to life and have Heck figure
and
it out.
And that also could spur Light to make an addition. At tackle.
I think an addition's coming. It's just a question of at what point.
Yeah, I agree.
And they love to see those guys play in preseason.
You got to hedge your bets about Wirfs. You have to.
But we'll also get an update on his health. We'll get all kinds of updates because it's here. Training camp is here. Kicking off.
And we might have a very special podcast next week.
So, Sage, one podcast this week, and we're going to come back with three next week for our devoted followers who keep count and keep track of everything Ira does, all his movements, things like that. Bottom line, Ira, Lee, we feel bad that he's down with COVID. We hope it's not too long, so we don't like that at all, but he's tough.
I'm sure glad he got tested. Otherwise, he'd probably think he's got a bad cold and he'd show up tonight and you and I could be in trouble.
Well, yeah, we don't need that.
Are you going to bring any cosmic donuts to training camp, Steve?
Now, what do you want to eat?
Maybe pass them out to some of the staff, you know, and ingratiate yourself to the Buck staff. Because they need a reason to like you, Steve. You know that.
It might be too late for that. But I can bring a few donuts. Yeah, why not?
I hit it up again last weekend. I hit Cosmic Donuts again.
That's a good ride from your house. This is
but we went to dinner in Palm Harbor.
This isn't your neighborhood coconut donut shop.
We got there 9:10. I rushed through my meal just to go to Cosmic Donuts. And they close at 9. I walk in. And for the second time, because this is the second time I've been there, they got no coconut donuts in the display case. And for the second time, the worker goes in the back. I'll mix you up a couple of fresh ones. Had a nice cup of coffee.
Yeah, so they're they're cooked in the morning, but they're basically dipping them.
And they're huge.
Preparing them. Yeah,
they're
huge. I know. I brought you the donuts from there.
Fantastic.
So more donuts this weekend? Is that what's going on?
I don't know. It depends where we're going to dinner. Could be a Mexican.
Annual checkup coming up?
It's coming up next Tuesday. Buck Reporting Day. So you're going to have to carry the water on Buck Reporting Day. I'll be there for the first practice.
So do you get a special donut blood test or something like that?
I just got a blood test today just to be able to show the cardiologist next week how I'm doing.
Now you go celebrate with a donut.
It's tough for me to to fast. It's tough for me to get up in the morning and not have my coffee, Steve, but I did it today. You know, the fasting blood test, I think, is more indicative of what's going on. Hopefully my PSA is good. We'll see what's going on.
All right, Sage. Exciting times in the world of Ira. Donuts in his future.
By the way, they have no trouble sticking a needle in my arm. Some people, they got bad veins. My veins are like Hercules, Steve.
There you go. All right. Thank you, Bill Curry Ford. Thank you, Florida's Elite Restoration.
And thank you, WDAE listeners.
Absolutely. Fans can always catch us Saturdays. Check JoeBucksFan.com for times. We'll see you next week.